You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. In this last week of September 2025, the Religious Liberty Report is a Christian legal organization working to protect religious freedom, advance free speech. This radio broadcast and podcast hopes to help equip you, prepare you, to give a reason for the hope that is in you, to explain your Christian worldview. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth, the Religious Liberty Report. The Church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. This program is intended to educate, encourage, support, and equip our listeners on how to present their Christian worldview from a biblical worldview. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. We must remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. We live in a culture that aggressively challenges our faith. We're called to exhibit grace, knowing that faith, that religion, are too often a source of controversy, and debates can be particularly fierce. The proper relationship between church and state is at issue. As we address the many issues of our Christian worldview, we must do so without sacrificing grace, without sacrificing compassion, compassion for the world, for those that are lost. When taking the word to the world, we must not sacrifice our Christian testimony. We can discuss the issues without sacrificing love. We must guard against becoming combative. God's word tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. 1 Peter 3:15. Are you prepared to give an answer? Are you prepared to give the answer? Do you lack confidence or feel uncomfortable sharing your faith? Well, we're here to help. The Religious Liberty Report. Scripture exhorts us to contend for the faith. Yet too many Christians fear that speaking the truth on certain issues could earn them labels like judgmental, unloving, rigid, antiquated, out of touch, fanatic. Many Christians avoid sharing their faith because they're afraid of not being able to answer the tough questions. And yes, there will be tough questions. We need to equip ourselves to understand, articulate our perspective when faced with a wide range of tough questions. Tough questions on topics including race, sex, gender, heaven, hell, life, and death. Our strategy is to have a strategy, to develop a game plan, and have a tactic for discussing our Christian worldview, our Christian convictions, our beliefs. We know that the culture is discarding the Christian worldview. The culture is discarding how God made the world, what it means to be human, what marriage means, and what sex is for. Everything is on the table. The cultural presence, the cultural pressure is increasing, especially on the next generation. According to Pew Research, 4 in 10 Americans between the ages of 23 and 38 now say that they are religiously unaffiliated. This is the biggest drop in religiosity between generations ever recorded. Millennials dropping out of church and often ending up staying away permanently. Some claim that the growing number of dropouts can be a good thing because it separates true believers from cultural Christians. You know, I understand the spirit behind the claim, but it seems misguided somehow. Turning to page 1 of the report, in this last week of September 2025, Charlie Kirk's widow says that she forgives husband's killer. The pinnacle of a more than 4-hour tribute to Charlie Kirk came when his wife revealed that she forgave his killer. Erica Kirk's remarks before an audience of approximately 200,000 filling State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, and an adjacent arena. It brought the house down. She said, "My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men, just like the one who took his life." She went on to say, "On the cross, our Savior said, 'Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do.'" That man, that young man, I forgive him. I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. She went on to say, "The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love, and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us." Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie Kirk, speaking before a crowd of approximately 200,000 in Glendale, Arizona, remembering her husband Charlie. Charlie, who wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Hours before the memorial, Miss Kirk told the New York Times that she would not ask that the state of Utah execute her husband's murderer. She was quoted as saying, "I've had so many people ask, 'Do you feel anger towards this man? Do you want to seek the death penalty?'" Erica Kirk responded, "I'll be honest," she said. "I told our lawyer I want the government to decide this. I do not want that man's blood on my ledger." Erica Kirk, forgiving the man who killed her husband, Charlie Kirk. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report in this last week of September 2025, reporting on forgiveness. Forgiving a depraved assassin who planned and executed Charlie Kirk, charged with capital murder. Turning to page 2 of the Religious Liberty Report, we have this. Though Jesus performed many miracles, there's one miracle that Jesus never performed. Jesus never transformed the character of the unbelieving with miracles. Jesus never forced belief or faith. Jesus never transformed the character of people with miracles. He could have just changed their character in an instant. He chose instead to form his disciples, to teach his disciples, day by day. Because character cannot be imposed. Character is forged. Godly character is not formed by a quick prayer or an experience, but through walking daily in the Word with our Lord. It's possible to argue that Jesus did not directly transform a person's character through miracles. Rather, he formed them, he taught them, he guided them, day by day. Though Jesus, as God, was all-powerful, he condescended to honor our free will, our choice, our religious freedom. Christ honored religious freedom. There is no conflict between biblical principles and the civic principle of religious freedom. In fact, the concept of religious freedom is biblical for several reasons. First, God himself extends freedom of religion to all people, and the Bible lists many examples. I've often cited the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, where he comes to Jesus, and after a brief conversation, the young man went away, sorrowful, choosing not to follow Christ. And it's important to notice, to see and observe that Jesus lets him go. Jesus never forces belief in him. Faith is commanded but never coerced. In Matthew 23, Jesus expresses his desire to gather the children of Jerusalem to himself, but they were, quote, not willing. If God gives men the freedom to choose or to even reject him, then so must we. The concept of religious freedom is also seen in Scripture in that it respects the image of God in man. Part of God's likeness is man's free will, man's ability to choose good or to choose evil. God respects our choices. He gives us freedom to make decisions regarding our future, even when we make the wrong decisions. Again, if God allows us to choose, we must also allow others to choose. Religious liberty, the freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. Religious freedom also appears in Scripture in that only the Holy Spirit can change hearts. No government or no church or rules or law can change men's hearts. Only Jesus saves. To take away freedom of conscience is to empower human government with its fallible, sinful rulers, to determine the destiny of men and women. But Christ's kingdom is not of this world, we read in John 18:36. No one becomes a Christian by government fiat. We become Christians by the grace of God through faith in Christ. What the government does or does not do is not related to the new birth of the gospel. Freedom of religion admits that in the final analysis, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. God does not desire an external form of worship, but a personal relationship with each of his children. No amount of government control can produce such a relationship. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, and how Christ himself honored religious freedom. Woe to you that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. We are peacemakers. We seek peace, first with God, and then with our fellow neighbor. Peacemakers. But there's also a sword. There's a price to pay. The world will react negatively. Too often. The truth of real peace is not avoiding conflict. Sometimes you have to come face to face with it, because we seek true peace. And sometimes you have to go through the worst conflicts to obtain real peace. Jesus, the greatest peacemaker of all time, did he avoid conflict? Not on your life. He was nailed to the cross, the ultimate conflict. They killed him violently, and he permitted it because he knew that peace would be found in the end. So, brothers and sisters, it's no wonder that when we come to them with the peace that the gospel offers, they fight. They fight against us, but mostly they fight against the gospel. They did not like Jesus. They wanted a fighter, an iron fist, to challenge the Roman government, a real Messiah, to put a stranglehold on the Caesar, knock the Roman government out. They wanted a great warrior, and then Jesus shows up. They did not like Jesus. And then Jesus comes along and says, blessed are the peacemakers. The meek shall inherit the earth. People viewed and still view the peace of Jesus as cowardly, as weak. But if we get bold and really preach Jesus Christ, the gospel, they will fight against us. But you know, we shouldn't feel bad about that. I mean, we should be glad to have some enemies, as long as they're the right enemies. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, that's right. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he should be called the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ, he was the Prince of Peace, and yet everywhere he went, he created conflict. Do you notice that? Everywhere Jesus went, he created conflict. In fact, in Luke chapter 23, verse 5, it says, quote, he stirs up the people. Everywhere he goes, a conflict, conflict, and more conflict. We see this repeated with Paul, the apostle, the ambassador of peace. Paul, preaching a message of reconciliation, a gospel of peace, he called it. Yet, wherever he went, he created riots. Yeah, that's right, riots in the streets. In Acts chapter 24, verse 5, it says that we found this man a troublemaker. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All who live godly in this present age shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here we are, coming to the world with a message of peace. We come in peace. But we seek true peace, the right way, through righteousness, through holiness and purity. But what do we get? We get more war, more strife, more conflict. Because they will not hear it. Brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to deny ourselves, pay the price, and be bold. Not bow out. Real peacemakers, willing to say what needs to be said, to bring righteousness to bear on any situation. This is the real meaning of peace. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about the real meaning of peace and how it's sometimes really hard to tell people that they're living in sin, that they're offending a holy God, that they're at war with God. Sometimes it's really hard to tell people that you just want to help them make peace with God. Real peacemakers, sometimes having to ruffle some feathers to resolve things righteously. Not just avoid the issues, but rather dive right into the issues. Now listen, the Bible is not against your personal freedom. The Bible and God are very much in favor of you and your freedom. God, however, does not want your freedom to result in chaos. Jesus, you see, he claims to be the true source of that freedom. He says that freedom is inextricably intertwined with truth. Freedom. Truth. The secular, the humanist worldview tells us differently. Tells us that we can be our own gods. We can decide what is right and what is wrong. And the church is coming to grips with this huge paradigm shift in our culture, where the safety net of yesterday that surrounded our culture, this Judeo-Christian ethic, whether you were Christian or not, this inherent element of our cultural backdrop in this country is no longer there. Today, this net of protection that we once had is gone, even resented. You know, not so long ago, people respected the Bible as having wisdom for life, for living. But today. So the question, how do we start a conversation? How do we go into this new world to share our message? How can we challenge the world and at the same time invite the world to repentance. A complex culture. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Last week of September 2025. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me on this week's report. This is no time to dabble in sin. We are deep into the end times. We must be redeeming the time. This is the time to be called to holiness and righteousness. This is a desperate hour. Important times, though most of us are oblivious to this. But I want to encourage you. There are many reasons, I know, to be afraid. It can be very difficult to fight for the faith. It seems that so much is against us. There's harsh words and harsh conflict all around us. As Christians, there are so many things that want to take our peace, that want to rob us of our testimony. We must settle it in our hearts. We need freedom from the enslavement of the flesh of sin. If you plunder a thing, you empty it of its meaning. Without the sacred, there can be no reconciliation. But we know that. We know that the world is determined to suppress the truth. In Romans chapter 1, we're told that they exchanged the truth for a lie. Everything seems upside down. But Jesus looks at us and says, your body is the temple of the living God. God wants to make his home in you, in your physical body. And Jesus makes this possible. You see, we don't necessarily have to go to the sanctuary to congregate because we are the sanctuary. You see, no other faith answers this way. We stand for religious liberty here on the Religious Liberty Report, but mostly we stand for Christ and the gospel. In 3 days, he said, I will raise it up again. Talking about his body, speaking of the temple of his body. And that is why we have sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage. That's why sexuality is so much at the heart of the debate, because it speaks directly to the sanctity of the human body. Think about it. Our Christian faith linked to how we deal with our mortal bodies. Think of how our physical bodies are so much a part of the transaction with God. So much that the scripture tells us that our bodies will be transformed into temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano signing off for this week. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.